argument, extra equipamentos versus Case, Mr. Doyle.
Your Honor, I'm Paul Doyle from Kelly, Dry & Warren, and I represent the appellant Extra Equipamentos. We submit that the district court's grant of summary judgment based on the non-reliance clause should be reversed for a variety of reasons. First, no court in this circuit has ever applied the Reisman holding to a non-party to a contract before now.
What the contract says is, or the release clause, the no reliance clause in the release agreement refers to representatives, and the first paragraph in the release says that Case shall include Case Brazil, right? So doesn't that suggest that the agreement applies to Case Brazil?
No, Your Honor. The agreement applies to Case Brazil. Did you mean Case, Your Honor?
Case and Case Brazil, yeah.
No, Your Honor, the Case has always taken the position that it had nothing to do with this agreement, Case Corporation. It's also said that in interrogatory answers, which we've quoted in our...
This fellow, Sharman, he is... Whatever he said in the Waukegan meeting was as representative of both Case and Case Brazil. Isn't that true?
We don't agree with that, Your Honor.
Isn't that the unavoidable meaning of the language, if you put the no reliance clause together with this recital about Case including both companies?
Oh, it's quite possible, Your Honor, that that he could have said he had authority to sign for Case Brazil, which he did, represented that, but still make representations on behalf of Case Corporation. And that's the essence of our fraud claim. It's certainly possible, which the district court never considered.
But he's speaking as a... The parties are not relying on representations made by the other party or any person representing them. Well, other party includes both cases, and this fellow Sharman is a representative of both.
The other party to this contract, Your Honor, and this has been established many times over in this litigation, is Case Brazil. It's the only other party. And if, you know, I could quote you from the interrogatory answers, which essentially where Case Corporation takes the position that the agreement is...
What's the significance of this provision as used in this release? Case shall include Case Brazil and company and Case Corporation, their subsidiaries and everybody else. Doesn't that make them parties?
No, Your Honor. I don't know. It does not. And it's clear that if you look at the agreement, it's signed by Case Brazil. And as I say, Case itself has taken the position repeatedly that its agreement it's not its agreement. It was a Case Brazil agreement. It wasn't enforceable either by Case Corporation or against it. That's an interrogatory answer.
Now, am I correct when I say that neither party wants to say that Sharman did not have authority to enter the contract?
We would certainly like to say that, Your Honor, if it's true. But I think there's a genuine dispute as to whether he did have authority. There's no question about it that there's a dispute.
I mean, it seems to me, and you know, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Extra doesn't want to repudiate the Waukegan contract because that contract was what gave it the right to be maintained as a dealer on the same terms given to other dealers. And it seemed to me that Case didn't want to repute the Waukegan agreement because the no reliance clause is the key defense. But what I have had some difficulty with is understanding how Extra can argue that Sharman had no authority to bind Case Brazil without repudiating the contract.
Our position is, Your Honor, is you're correct. We certainly would like Sharman to have authority. What's happened in Brazil, okay, and I think we've documented this massively, is there's just been a total and complete repudiation of the agreement in every way, shape, or form by Case Brazil. The document, the contract they sent 3 weeks later, a month later, was essentially nothing like what it should have been. They cut his credit line. They cut his. In other words, they acted like, Okay, the Case Brazil acted like the Waukegan Agreement had no effect, no meaning, and I think the evidence in the record is overwhelming that they
repeated. Argument for breach of contract, but that's the litigation in Brazil.
Right.
I don't understand why there's more than a contract dispute here.
Your Honor, this panel in its first decision essentially found that, not that found, because that wasn't in front of you, but in order to determine the Rule 19 issue, you articulated what the claim we're making, which is essentially not based on contract. It was based on a fraud based on a manipulation of the corporate form. And you articulated that claim, and we submit it's a valid claim, and the district court actually later on agreed that it was a valid claim. So it's not we're asserting a fraud claim here, not a contract claim.
If there had never been a Waukegan agreement, what agreement would have governed the relationship between Extra and Case Brazil?
It would have been probably this 1992 distribution agreement, Your Honor.
And, which allowed cancellation.
I'm sorry, what, Your Honor?
Which allowed case to cancel.
Arguably, but as
what I... What do you mean arguably? There's no argument about it.
Well, I think they would, under Brazilian law, as I understand it, Your Honor, they could cancel, but that they would have had to pay, and they would
That's the issue down in Brazil.
Let me explain
what is it you want in the way of relief?
Damages.
Presumably, you want us to say the Waukegan Agreement is inoperative because you were induced by fraud to agree to it. Correct?
No, we don't want to say it. We want to say that the case in the, we have an agreement with Case Brazil, Your Honor. Okay, that's an existing.
Like the Waukegan agreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, wait a second. You say you were induced to sign it by fraud.
What we're saying,
Your Honor, by fraudulent representation. You can't. If you argue that you were induced to sign a contract by fraud, and if you prove fraud, that's the end of the contract. Have to argue that if you hadn't been induced fraudulently to sign that contract, you would have incurred some other injury.
What we're saying, Your Honor, is that we're not saying the Waukegan Agreement is invalid or that we induced to sign it by fraud. What we're saying is that Case Corporation committed a fraud, manipulated.
Well, I don't understand. What harm could it be if you want to enforce the Waukegan Agreement? Then you're not harmed by the fraud. What's the harm from the fraud?
The harm from the fraud is that essentially the Case Corporation...
Did they breach the Waukegan Agreement?
Yes, they did.
Yes, okay, so that's the suit in Brazil. Now, how can you claim a breach of contract under a theory of fraud while you're litigating a breach of contract under contract law?
The suit in Brazil is not a suit on the Waukegan Agreement, Your Honor. It's a suit under the 1992 distribution agreement.
So you're suing to enforce the Waukegan Agreement? Is that what you want?
Not here, no.
I don't understand you.
This is a fraud claim, Your Honor.
What?
Why are you here?
Why are we here? Because essentially, because there was fraud committed by.
You like the Waukegan Agreement? Do you think they violated it? Do you think they broke it?
But who's they in that sense?
Case
is not a party
Either
to the
case. No. Do you think that the Waukegan Agreement was violated by your opponents?
By Case Brazil, it was clearly violated, Your Honor, and
so
it was.
So why aren't you suing for breach of contract?
Because we can sue for breach of contract, Case Brazil. We also have a fraud claim against Case Corporation.
That I don't understand.
This is the same.
If you're happy with the Waukegan Agreement, you just want to enforce it, which is fine. Then how did Case hurt you?
We're not happy with the Waukegan Agreement. What's happened is the Waukegan Agreement, the reason we're here in part is...
You want to set aside the Waukegan Agreement?
No, because Case Brazil has completely repudiated in every single way, and that the
Repudiated what?
The Waukegan Agreement.
That's a breach of contract, isn't it?
But that doesn't preclude a fraud claim in this context against the parent company from manipulating the corporate form.
But I don't understand. If
Same
you
issue
say...
We talked about four
what
years
is this?
Ago.
Is this tortious interference with contract? No. That Case somehow procured the breach By Case Brazil or what?
No, it's a form of fraud called manipulation of the corporate form, and this is precisely...
To do what harm?
Basically, to get the benefits. It's exactly what you articulated yourself, Your Honor, 4 years ago. It's to get the benefits of what they got, a release, a dropping of the objection, the cap on... to get all the benefits that they could
But the release is the Waukegan Agreement. You say you like the Waukegan Agreement.
No. What I'm saying is I didn't say we like the Waukegan Agreement.
Well, do you want to avoid the Waukegan Agreement?
No. I'm
completely lost.
We have both. We have a claim. We have a claim against Case Brazil for breach of contract of the Waukegan Agreement. We also have a fraud claim against the parent company. There's nothing inconsistent.
If you prevail in that claim against Case Brazil for breach of the Waukegan Agreement, won't that give you all the relief you need?
Not at all.
Why not?
Not at all. Because as I understand it, first of all, the claim that's being argued, that's being put forward in Brazil right now is under the 92 distribution agreement. It's not under the Waukegan Agreement.
Why aren't you suing to enforce the Waukegan Agreement?
I think they've referred to it in their complaint.
Why aren't you suing to enforce the Waukegan Agreement?
Because I think there was a I don't know the answer to that.
Why? Well, you don't know the answer.
You're looking for damages.
Looking for fraud damages, Your Honor.
Right. And it seems to me that the only damages that were caused by, if there was, you know, fraudulent inducement, would be the cost of Briante flying, if any, of flying to Chicago to sign an invalid contract, and Extra's lost opportunity to use its information about malfeasance at Case Brazil as a bargaining chip to hang over the heads of Case and Case Brazil. But then, as you seem to have contended that Charman had no authority to bind Case Brazil, then the contract is a nullity. And after signing the contract, Extra was in almost the same exact position you were in before you signed the Waukegan Agreement.
Your Honor,
see my problem?
I see your problem, but this is not a fraud and inducement claim. That's my point. In other words, what we have here is that we have a breach of contract claim against Case Brazil. And we also have a fraud claim, a straight fraud claim, not fraud in the inducement to invalidate the contract, against Case Corporation. And there's no inconsistency between those two. In fact, that's exactly what this court said.
What part of the alleged fraud do you?
It cost this guy his distributorship. He had the best distributorship in all of South America. He'd taken it from 50,000 in 92 to like 70 million in 2001 or 99.
What happened?
And basically he's been cut off completely.
Well, that's what you have your litigation in Brazil over.
Yeah, but we have them both, Your Honor.
For the termination of the distributorship.
This is for the last 4 years, everybody's tried to conflate the contract and the fraud claim. And they can exist separately, they can coexist.
But
it's not fraud and inducement.
Couldn't you repudiate the contract and go back to Brazil with, the complaints about Case Brazil and lodge your objections to a case merger there?
Yeah, in theory we could, Your Honor. The merger took place like seven or 8 years ago already. Merger's long gone. But the point is, I thought this is what was decided the last time we were here, because that was the issue here on the Rule 19, whether this was a contract claim or whether it was a fraud claim.
That's what really muddies the waters here, because it seems to me that the focus ought to be on cases fraud that occurred before the contract was signed. Well, of course, you say that's what induced you to sign the contract. I find it, to me, it certainly looked like fraudulent inducement, but you say
It's not fraudulent inducement in the sense that we're trying to. It's essentially the tort that we've alleged, and this court articulated first, was essentially manipulation of the corporate form, which is essentially, as Judge Posner put it, what it was is essentially using the subsidiary as a tool, okay, to in effect harm in our case Extra, that's not fraud in the inducement. It's a form of fraud, of actual fraud, and it has a genesis back. I think it's not commonly used, but it has a genesis going back, I think, to the 20s, basically on an article that then law professor Justice Douglas wrote.
Could I go through what I view as the scenario, and you tell me where
sure.
I'm wrong?
Sure.
Okay. Case and Sherman wanted to get Extra and Briante, the president, to stop complaining about Case Brazil's fraudulent behavior. Okay?
That's part of it, Your Honor.
Withdraw its objection to a merger that was lodged before the Brazilian authorities and help Case clean shop.
And also drop a lawsuit. There was also a pending lawsuit, Your Honor. There was a fourth.
Now, according to your view, Sherman knows he has no authority to bind Chase Brazil, but he tells Briante that he does. Are we still together?
We are, Your Honor.
Okay. And he said in essence, Sherman is saying in essence, if you drop your objections to the merger and tell us what is going on at Case Brazil, I'll use my authority to bind Case Brazil to the Waukegan Agreement, and it'll be a good deal for you.
Yeah, what he said.
Are you with me?
I am. And what he was saying is there's a list of those promises which we're suing on are in our brief, and he made all those promises, and we'll be able to prove that at trial.
At trial here?
Yes.
But, okay, and if we look at all of this in a light most favorable to you, Sherman would have known that he had no authority to bind Chase Brazil, and he knows that Chase Brazil will not comply with the agreement, and that is why it's fraud, and everything occurred before anyone read the agreement.
Well, let me expand on that, Your Honor. And we will also say that in addition to the issue of authority, the facts as they unfolded immediately afterwards showed that Case had no intention of honoring those promises.
If he hadn't made those promises, would Extra have signed the Waukegan Agreement?
Probably not.
That's part of the fraud, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. In other words,
he induced you to sign the agreement?
What we're saying is that Sherman made the promises as a representative of...
Answer my question. Didn't the promises induce...
Yes, but not in the sense of fraudulent inducement.
That's gibberish. Look, the point is, you wouldn't have signed the agreement if it hadn't been for these false promises.
I agree with that.
Okay. So then the question of the harm to you is, if you hadn't signed the agreement... How would you be better off if you hadn't signed the agreement? That's your injury, right?
Oh.
No fraud. If there's no fraud, you don't sign the agreement. Now the question is, what's the consequence for you of not signing the agreement? You must be better off, otherwise you wouldn't have any injury.
Well, the consequences, I understand, Your Honor, I see my time is running into... rebuttal. The consequence, as I understand it, is if you put aside the agreement, is that we were promised certain things.
Look. Answer my question. If you didn't sign the agreement, what happens? How are you better off by not signing the agreement?
Well, we would have. The answer to that is we would have had our objections. Okay. We would have had objections to the merger. We would have had a pending lawsuit. We would have, had the rights we had in Brazil. We, in theory, gave all those up.
We still have the pending lawsuit.
No, it's a different lawsuit, Your Honor.
What's the different lawsuit?
The lawsuit, as I understand it, and I
keep saying as you understand it, you ought to know for certainty what the situation, what your litigation posture is. What's this lawsuit? What's your lawsuit that you're talking about?
Current one or the one that existed at that point? As I understand the one that existed at the time, and I want to just be careful when I say something
You should know your litigation history.
The lawsuit that he complained about the chargebacks. This is prior to the Waukegan Agreement. He was complaining about the illegal chargebacks. He had that lawsuit, and he gave it up when he signed the Waukegan Agreement.
Lawsuit against whom?
Against Case Brazil.
Okay, now let me ask you, this It's related to Judge Rovner's concurrence in the Rissman case. As I understand the issue there, some courts, and maybe this is implicit in the Rissman majority opinion, believe that whether a no-release clause is enforceable depends on the circumstances. Does the party who signed the no-release, does he really know what he's doing, and this and that and the other, right? Okay. Is there anything in the circumstances of this meeting in the airplane hangar which would suggest that Briante was not capable of executing a knowing non-reliance clause?
Sure. I mean, sure. This was the I agree with you that he could execute a non-reliance clause vis-a-vis case Brazil, but the cases that apply Rissman, they're big corporate transactions mostly with people negotiating for months and weeks and everything, and that's the basis why they're upheld, particularly in stock transactions, and all the cases are like that. What happened here is you had a telescope schedule of maybe a few hours to get something done. The counterparty was...
Was Briante represented?
Yes, he was.
By whom?
By an attorney from our firm and also by an attorney from Brazil.
Well, isn't that enough?
No, because
and he's a sophisticated businessman.
Contract was with Case Brazil. At the same time, you had Sharma.
I don't understand. Okay. His lawyers must have read this release thing, and they must. I don't understand. Well, if they had some question about Sharman's authority and so on, or what representations were embraced by the no reliance clause, why didn't they ask?
Keep in mind, Your Honor, that Case Brazil wasn't there. Okay, this is one of these strange situations.
I don't understand you. This fellow Sharman, Case owns Case Brazil. Sharman is the big shot at Case with regard to Latin America. Why wouldn't it be assumed that, of course, he's speaking from Case Brazil, especially since Extra's transactions are with Case Brazil?
Well, we expected that he was speaking
Extra for Case. Extra has nothing to do with the rest of Case's business all over the world, obviously.
What he got up there in the meeting and he said, "I'll make sure this happens. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it."
Right.
He wasn't
he's
doing
speaking
it
for Case Brazil. If he's guaranteeing that, you know,
he was doing
results.
It for those representations. If you say me as Case Corporation will make
the person if the boss of Case's Latin American operations makes representations, and then you sign an agreement which says you're not relying on oral representation, surely you must think the oral representation you're not permitted to rely on are what Sharman said.
When he made those promises, he was talking for Case, and it's quite possible for him to be...
Brazil? Because this agreement is about Brazil.
He was not an officer of Case Brazil.
This is about Brazil. Briante would have no interest in talking to someone who wasn't in charge of Brazil.
There are corporate formalities, and in this case, we've drawn a distinction all along between Case and Case Brazil. And if we conflate them...
What? Sharman conflated them. Briante inflated them. This agreement, this release, is about Brazil.
If you think about what you're saying, Your Honor, this is classic manipulation of the corporate form. That's what he was engaged in. That's exactly what was happening here. When you conflate
That's
them and say,
words.
"I'll take care of this,"
that's just words.
No, it's not words.
You never explained what harm to you ensued, your client ensued, from the fact that signed the Wikipedia.
Lost the biggest dealership in all of South America at a time when it was growing by astronomically, and essentially that's what happened. And he came up to Waukegan. He was insured by the top guy in this group that everything would be fine, and that he would make sure Case Brazil follow on its agreement.
Why did his lawyers allow him to sign the no reliance? That was a terrible mistake.
The no reliance essentially applied to the counterparty, Case Brazil. It didn't apply to Case.
Very bad legal advice. If you were concerned about the representations made by Sharman, you shouldn't have allowed Briante to sign this no reliance clause.
Right, keep in mind, this all occurred in the space of about 4 or 5 hours.
He's got lawyers from Brazil and New York and so on.
But this isn't like a stock subscription agreement that was executed over months and negotiated over months and had a million different clauses.
This is a little off center, but I think it would help me to know. Because as I recall, your brief stated that the one promise made in the Waukegan Agreement was that Extra would remain a case dealer in good standing on terms as favorable, at least, as those extended to other dealers.
They made actually more promises, but that's one of them, Your Honor.
Well, I think that's probably the big one.
It's an important one.
And later, Extra complains about the termination clauses in the rep agreement, right? It is. It's right.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, is there any evidence in the record that these termination clauses weren't similar to those that were given to other dealers?
The evidence, Your Honor, I took the gentleman's deposition at the time, and what he said is that they didn't have a standard agreement for this. This is what he testified. This was the first one, so there was no sort of standard agreement out there. That's what he said. I don't know whether it's that exact language is in the record, but that's what the deposition said.
So is that part of the fraud as well?
Yeah, because what happened is, if you think of this contextually, is Percio's told, or Extra's told, that, you know, this is all going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. A month later, he gets a draft agreement which essentially says we can terminate you in 30 days and we can cut your territory by as much as we want and you can't do anything about it. That's fraud to me.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Doyle.
Thank you.
Mr. Landau?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The last time this case was here, this Court said it's rather surprising that Extra is not trying to pierce the corporate veil between Case and Case Brazil. Well, now we know why it is that they were so desperately trying and insisting not to pierce the veil, because their whole case depends on insisting on this corporate formality that I think, as some of the questioning indicated, it seems wholly misplaced under these particular circumstances. I mean, this is a contract that defined Case to include both Case and Case Brazil. And it's just such an ironic, I mean, this whole case is kind of upside down and backwards, and I think a lot of the questioning kind of just confirmed that.
Does it matter if Sharman actually had the authority to bind Case Brazil?
I don't think it matters if he had the technical legal authority. He certainly had at least apparent authority. And one thing that's important, we did everything we could. We tried to ratify that. We go to Case Brazil. I mean, again, everything is upside down here. They're the ones who are trying to attack the ratification. I mean, the whole thing is so strange, because usually you get a plaintiff who's trying to say, oh, the defendant is manipulating the corporate formalities and it's all the same thing. Here, it's the plaintiff who is insisting on these corporate formalities. Case is not saying Sharman did not have authority to sign the agreement. And again, if you look at the Waukegan Agreement itself, it's quite clear that it defines Case to include both Case and Case Brazil. When Sharman signed it, he signed it as GM, you know, General Manager and VP. That was his title with Case. And so, in a sense, they are trying to manufacture this whole distinction.
Well, what I can't get past my, you know, head is that it certainly seems to me that neither party wants to say that Sharman did not have authority to enter into the contract.
That's absolutely right.
Extra doesn't want to, because that contract was what gives it the right to be maintained as a dealer on the same terms as any other dealer. Case doesn't want to repudiate that Waukegan agreement, because the no reliance clause is your key defense.
Right. That's the key paradox at the heart of their case, Your Honor. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to kind of say the Waukegan agreement is void because it was fraudulently induced, but they actually like the Waukegan agreement, because to the extent they're claiming any enhanced rights, they're based on the Waukegan agreement. So they're trying to talk out of both sides of their mouth at once, and they're getting caught up in knots. For the first time today, I hear them saying this is not a fraudulent inducement case. I don't understand what on earth they could mean by that. I mean, what they're saying, and this is what this Court recognized, that on a theoretical, on the pleadings at least, they could state a fraud claim against Case that was distinct from a contract claim, but that is by no means the same as saying that, in fact, they did create a fraud claim against Case. Well, that was different.
Extra claims that it's possible that Charman was a representative of Case Brazil for purposes of signing the Waukegan Agreement, but was a representative of Case when he made oral promises about what Case would make Case Brazil do. So why shouldn't this be resolved as a factual matter?
Well, Your Honor, because he at least had the apparent authority to be representing Case. I mean, even if as a technical matter he didn't have the technical legal authority, which we're not even arguing that he didn't, and in fact we tried to ratify his authority, you can't create a factual dispute when at least they agree. If you look at page 4 of their reply brief, they are conceding there. They say specifically, we believed at the time we signed this that he had the authority. And of course, what would they have been thinking signing this agreement where he signs on behalf of Case Brazil? They must have been thinking that he was a person representing Case. In other words, again, they can't have it both ways to be saying, oh, you know, he was, I guess what you're getting
well,
at.
Well, isn't the August 2001 proposed novation some evidence that Case Brazil tried to repudiate the Waukegan Agreement?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, the interesting thing is, I don't believe so, Your Honor, in the sense that the problem on the, this is now kind of getting into causation and their damages, and whether Case Brazil performed or not. I mean, the interesting thing is they never brought a contract claim against Case Brazil in Brazil on the Waukegan Agreement. This came out in some of your questioning just now of Mr. Doyle. What they are suing under the 92 distribution agreement in Brazil, which allowed termination without cause on 90 days' notice. And so, in a sense, that litigation is all about that contract. They have not sued brought claims under the Waukegan Agreement in Brazil.
I understand what Case got out of the Waukegan Agreement, but what did Case Brazil, the actual party to the agreement, I think, get out of it?
Well, Your Honor, it was signed on their behalf. In a sense, they might have had a good argument to try and pierce the corporate veil along just those grounds. That basically, they dropped a lawsuit, that they dropped their objection to the merger. In other words, what you're saying is essentially, this looks to me like a real contract between Case and Extra, and not so much Case Brazil. And one critical point that they did not mention today, they actually brought this as a contract lawsuit originally. When this lawsuit was filed in 2001, it had a breach of contract claim against Case. And in fact, if you look at their first responses to interrogatories, they say, plaintiff objects to the definition of settlement agreement as purporting to claim that Extra entered into an agreement with Case Brazil on October 1999. This definition is wholly inaccurate. Extra entered into agreement with Case Corporation, now known as CNH America, on October 19, 1999, the Waukegan Agreement. So they're the ones that even are insisting that this was an agreement with Case. I think, again, now they have, I guess, decided that they're better off trying to claim it as a fraud claim. But and the basic problem with the – I mean, there's a number of – that walks them into the no-reliance clause. And they're trying to be, I think, very cute to try and avoid the no-reliance clause and kind of a gotcha and say, ah, well, Case is not a party to the agreement. But I think as some of the questioning earlier pointed out, the terms of the no-reliance clause say that we are relying on our own judgment into entering into this agreement, our own counsel we have here. We're not relying on statements by the other party or any person representing them except for the reps and warranties in this agreement.
Well, isn't the problem that without the Waukegan Agreement, Case Brazil could do exactly as it did? It could terminate Extra's dealership agreement with, that 120-day notice or whatever it was.
But it could do that before.
And if the contract's null,
It could do that even before the Waukegan Agreement. In other words, if you look, I think one thing that's very important is to look at what they're alleging as their promise that we allegedly made to them to induce them to enter into the contract that Case allegedly made. They say, first, Case, through Sharman and others, promised to retain Extra as a distributor on the terms and conditions of the 1992 distribution agreement. That's paragraph 122 on page A71. That's their amended complaint. So what they're saying, they were not promised that they could be a distributor in perpetuity. It says you can continue under the same terms and conditions of the 92 distribution agreement, or you can get the standard agreement that's being offered. There is no question in the record that they were, in fact, proffered the standard agreement. They didn't like it. And if you look at what they say, that there's a factual issue about whether they were even given that contract and whether there was performance, they're only saying they didn't like the terms of that. But yeah, before I get too much into the weeds, I just think it's important to understand that they're trying to slice the salami awfully thin and circumvent the no reliance clause by somehow suggesting what is preposterous on its face, that Case was not a representative of Case Brazil, when Case Brazil was at that meeting and Case signed on behalf of Case Brazil. And I guess the other point, Your Honor, that I think there's been a little bit of confusion in the back and forth here with opposing counsel.
Well, I think what you're saying is that if Sharman was not a representative of Case Brazil, then Case Brazil had no representative.
Yes.
Had no representative, and then
who on earth do they think that they signed the agreement with?
He's the only person who signed on the Case side. So. He's signing under the words Case Brazil, so...
Yes. They're caught up in their own web here, Your Honor. They're trying to be too clever by half.
But they say they were rushed, and Briante is, you know, he comes from the hinterlands of Brazil, you know, not an urban guy. And you know, they didn't have months. They were rushed. They were rushed off to this airport hangar. Why did the conference occur in an airport hangar?
Because they wanted it that way because they claimed that they were concerned and scared that Case Brazil would have spies. And I think we dropped a footnote in our brief kind of explaining this.
Well, there's a footnote. It should have been a novel. I mean, the kind of stuff that seems
This is a colorful case, Your Honor. That
yes, I may write the novel.
Why an airport hangar? Is that somehow a secure place for...
You know, the record, I think, is silent on that particular point, Your Honor. But the one, I think, key point that's kind of there's a number of strange things. To the extent, usually when you have a fraudulent inducement case, you think you're trying to get away from the contract. But, of course, the contract is what they actually like here. I mean, this is just one of the many things that is kind of upside down when you start to get into it in this case. And what's even stranger...
Well, the true damages are based on a contract claim against Case Brazil, right?
Well... The strange thing here, Your Honor...
Oh, can't you just say yes or no?
I wish I could... Everything in this case is so complicated because they've tied themselves up in knots. The contract is... I think... Let me try and answer you in a moment, Judge Rovner. Please, I want to give you a straight answer, but let me just explain one little wrinkle. The lawsuit in Case Brazil that they have against us, the currently pending lawsuit, is not about the Waukegan Agreement. It's
no,
about the 92...
Course.
Distribution agreement. So this is the basic causation problem that they have. That what they're claiming as damages for the breach of the fraud. They're saying we were fraudulently induced into entering into the Waukegan agreement, and then they suddenly say, and guess what? Our damages are our lost profits from the termination of the 92 contract, of the 92 distribution agreement.
Well, because the contract would be the key to recovering any damages because, you know, the rest of it, you know, it's an airplane ride and
But that's, you made that point before, and I think you're exactly right. The damages, if you were fraudulently induced into entering the Waukegan agreement, what you can claim as damages is what is the value of the secrets you gave, the airplane ride. But what they're trying to do here, they're trying to do something else. They're claiming in this fraudulent inducement lawsuit, they're claiming that their expectation damages from the 92 agreement in Brazil. What they're saying, and this is the mismatch that leads to our causation argument, what they're trying to say is the fraudulent inducement somehow to enter into the Waukegan agreement leads to the expectation damages from the alleged wrongful termination of the 92 agreement in Brazil. And that's the causal link that's missing. How does the Waukegan agreement promise was not a promise that changed the termination of the 90 termination provisions of the 92 agreement. They're not suing that in Brazil. If that were true, Your Honor, they'd be suing to enforce the Waukegan agreement in Brazil. But they're not. And I think Mr. Doyle said that just this morning. He says, we're suing under the 92 agreement. So the whole thing doesn't even make sense when they're trying to link up the fraudulent inducement to enter into the Waukegan agreement doesn't get them to the only damages they're seeking here. If you look at their damages expert reports by a fellow named Gallagher, and this was why we moved for summary judgment, not only under the no reliance clause, but as a separate ground, to say you just can't get from here to there. I mean, you just, if you're...
Well, I think you're saying if the Waukegan agreement was induced by fraud, and now we throw away the Waukegan agreement, they're back with a 92 agreement.
Precisely.
Their lawsuit in Brazil, yeah, apart from these incidental expenses of attending the...
Precisely. In other words, even if they were even if notwithstanding the no reliance clause, they were able to bring a fraud claim, a fraudulent inducement claim, it doesn't follow that the damages suddenly are the expectation damages that they're getting from Brazil. I mean, this is where they're trying to do kind of a bait and switch and say, oh, you know, we theoretically have this fraud lawsuit. Well, if that's true, the fraud is pretty limited. And particularly, as you were pointing out earlier, Judge Rovner, where they're not unhappy with they're not trying to disclaim the Waukegan agreement. I mean, this is what is such a contradiction in terms. Usually when you say, I was fraudulently induced into entering into a contract, it's because you want to get away from that contract. But they actually like the Waukegan agreement. Their whole point is that they allege that we refuse to abide by the Waukegan agreement. But they're not suing us under the Waukegan agreement in Brazil. They're suing us under the 92 distribution agreement in Brazil. So it's like a hall of mirrors. Everywhere you look, it doesn't add up because they have one problem. I mean, I think they brought their contract claim here. I think they must have decided that that would destroy diversity. I don't know why they didn't try and sue Case Brazil here and bring the whole thing together here. But for whatever reason, they actually dropped the contract claim that they had here and decided to go this fraud route, which walked them right into the no reliance clause. And now they're insisting as a plaintiff on this corporate formality, and they're insisting, even though we're not saying that Sharman didn't have authority, they're the ones insisting that Sharman didn't have authority. It's all a hall of mirrors.
Well, were they snookered in some way? You'll forgive my...
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is what, it doesn't even make sense to how they were snookered. I mean, look, they had a theory originally, and this was what the court said the last time. Their theoretical theory, kind of on the pleadings, was that, yes, their theory is that they were snookered into entering into the Waukegan agreement because Case promised them that they would get all these benefits, so they gave their consideration, and then Case had no intention of performing. But you know, what they're trying to do, I mean, the problem for them is that they have to insist that Case is not bound by the terms of the contract and is not a person representing Case Brazil to try and get around the no reliance clause. I mean, again, and going to your earlier question about Rissman and is it a per se rule or does it allow a more contextual approach, even if, in a sense, this case doesn't call for the court to answer that, because even if it were contextual, contextual doesn't mean it automatically goes to a jury. As Rissman itself and this court's later opinion in Sarabia, authored by Judge Rovner, highlight, enough context to decide the question as a matter of law is this person a sophisticated commercial party who was represented by counsel? And you know, to start saying, well, I was represented by counsel, but we only had 4 hours. I mean, you know, sophisticated commercial entities have got to enter into contracts, and there has to be some sense that courts, that those pieces of paper are worth what they are written on. So, you know, I guess, again, the whole thing here is so strange because it's the plaintiff who's insisting on the corporate formality to try to do a gotcha and do an end run around the no reliance clause. And the one thing I'll say, to the extent that they're now kind of suggesting, well, you know, maybe Mr. Sharman was wearing one hat then and one hat and trying to slice the no reliance clause that way and say there's a factual issue, they did not make that argument to the district court below. If you look at their summary judgment opposition papers, they took as a blanket rule this legal proposition that a non-party can never be affected by a no-reliance clause. There's no basis for that. It depends on the language of the clause, where you say that it's any person representing the party, like a lawyer, let's say, or a corporate affiliate. There's no reason that you must allow that loophole to try and get around it by saying, oh, it wasn't the party, it was this other person. So
in your view, Extra is stuck with the no reliance clause because it has to admit that Sharman was an authorized representative of Case.
And they do admit that.
And they have to go before, some Brazilian judges instead of nice us.
Your Honor, they're Brazilian companies. It's, essentially the center. Put it this way. They can't come in here. They can do whatever they want to do in Brazil. Okay, that's really their call. It's curious that they've never tried to sue under the Joaquin Agreement, so they keep saying that Case Brazil repudiated the Joaquin Agreement.
Are you all the lawyers in Brazil, too?
Oh, no, believe me. I barely can get my hands around American law sometimes to try and do Brazilian law.
I wouldn't.
That's beyond my ken. I think, and the other argument they made is that a no-reliance clause is, as a legal matter, only applicable to oral statements that directly contradict the written statements. Well, there's nothing that says that. I mean, I don't know where they get that from. I mean, the no-reliance clauses, I think, again, the point that this court made in Rissman is memory plays tricks on people. It's important. Sophisticated and prudent business people include no-reliance clauses in contracts, especially to avoid people making fraudulent inducement claims later by specifying what they were and were not relying on. And all we're doing is saying, this court should give effect to the language of the agreement.
Okay.
Are there any further questions?
A million, but go home.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Landa.
Thank you, Your
Honor. So, Mr. Doyle, your time expired, but we'll give you a minute since we asked you a lot of questions.
The only thing I'd like to say is certainly while these questions are very important and very important for you to understand, many of these issues have been resolved over the last 4 years in this litigation by the district court and to some extent by this court's prior opinion. And I'd urge you to, I know you have already, but we were looking at it when we looked at this. The one thing
prior opinion didn't discuss the no reliance clause.
No, but they weren't interested in the no reliance clause in those days, Your Honor, because they were trying to separate Case as far as possible from this agreement.
Brought that up with your costs. Business.
Yeah, but let me put it this way, and I really don't want to waste a lot of your time. The one thing I would say is the issue that's I think the primary issue before the court at this point is whether or not this particular no reliance clause is governed by Rissman, and I would just respectfully suggest that given all the circumstances and given the unique circumstances of this meeting. Okay, where you didn't even have the counterparty present, where you had a person making representations on behalf, on behalf of Case, and then at the same time,
that you have this mysterious problem that the only person who signed for Case Brazil was Sharman, so he must have been representing him.
Well,
Brazil is a party, and the no reliance clause applies to statements by representatives of clients.
Isn't it possible, Your Honor, for him to be representing Case Brazil when he signed the agreement and at the same time representing Case when he makes...
That's ridiculous.
I don't understand that, Your Honor. In other words, it seems to me, if you look at the nature of the representations, they had to have been made on behalf...
Because then these no-reliance clauses would be worthless because you'd say, well, when he made that statement, he wasn't a representative. He was... He was coming from outer space when he said that. No, that wouldn't work.
All right, let me read you just a Case's interrogatory answer, okay, because it's just this one sentence.
Where is it so we can...
It's on page 23 of our brief, and it's in A261 of the appendix. And this is what Case said in response to our interrogatories. The rights and obligations under the Waukegan Agreement have arisen solely pursuant to the express terms of that agreement, and this is the important part, and are enforceable only by and against the parties to the agreement. Okay. So this is Case itself saying they have nothing to do with this agreement. And now they want to get in on the non-reliance clause.
Now we have to stop.
I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Okay, one more question from Judge Rogner.
I won. turn to page 26 of your brief.
Sure.
And this is what it says. Where a party to a contract is found guilty of fraud in the inducement, the fraud prevents the contract with the non-reliance or integration clause from coming into being in the first place. Aren't you saying that the Waukegan Agreement was not a valid contract there?
No, Your Honor. What's happening in that page is if you look at, it's essentially, if you look at the last sentence of that paragraph, it says it would be totally inconsistent with this subtle law to confer greater rights under a contract or a non-party fraudster like Case than those accorded to a party to a contract who engaged in fraud. We're not saying that we're suing for fraud and inducement. We're saying if you don't give those rights to somebody who's involved in the contract, how could you do it to a third party? That's the point, Your Honor. It wasn't to say this is a fraud and inducement lawsuit. We've never, ever contended that we were trying to invalidate the Waukegan Agreement by fraud and the inducement.
Okay, thank you very much,
thank
both.
Thank you.
And the court will take a brief recess before the rest.